Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
Well, what happens if they don't buy? Because again, a lot of people won't buy, and you need to have a plan in place for them and not just let them go stale.
This is the show where I bring you the best tips, tactics, and strategies for using paid traffic to grow your business on autopilot. You also hear what's working and not working right now from the top minds in online marketing so that you can get more leads and sales every day without having to empty your wallet in the process. All right, let's jump into it. Hey, what is up, everyone? Welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic podcast. Rick Mulready here. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. Really appreciate you taking a few minutes out every day to do that. This is episode number 105. And on today's episode, I'm going to be talking with my good friend, Greg Hickman. Now, Greg is the founder of a company called Systemly. They work with online businesses to implement automation systems, automation sales funnels into their business. And I asked Greg to come on here today because with all of his work that they do with online businesses, they work on, you know, from strategy to actually building these systems. And also they have programs around building these systems into your business. And he's found that the most successful online businesses have seven funnels or systems, as he likes to call them, in their business. What I've asked Greg to do today is come on here and break down each one of these seven systems for you. And one thing I do want to mention before we kind of get going, and we do talk a lot about this in the episode today, is that if you're a beginner, you might only have one or two or maybe just a couple of these systems in place in your business right now. That's totally cool. You know, this is going to give you something to work towards. If you're more advanced, maybe you have most or all of these already in place, but maybe they're not working, you know, quite well together like they should. You're going to be able to learn how to make that all happen here today. Now, what we're talking about here is the customer lifecycle journey. And what we're going to be sharing here is why it's all about that customer lifecycle journey and how these systems or sales funnels fit into it. Okay. So Greg is going to break down each one of these seven systems, and we're using systems and funnels sort of interchangeably, but you're going to hear pretty quickly why Greg doesn't necessarily like the word sales funnels. So you're going to learn each one of these seven steps, why it's all about the customer lifecycle journey and how these seven systems fit into that journey. We're going to be talking about the place that each one of these systems has in your online business. We're going to talk about what types of emails to send for each system or each sales funnel, how long the email sequences should be. I get that question all the time. So Greg's going to give you some very specifics here today. How many emails that you might want to think about sending, and then when you might want to be sending those emails in these sequences. I get that question all the time as well. It's like, all right, I know I need to follow up with people. When should I send these emails? Well, Greg's going to break that all down here for you today and a whole lot more. Guys, this is a meaty one, so I would encourage you to have a re-listen after you've gone through it once, maybe to pick up what you may miss in the first time going through. Also, again, because this is a meaty one, we cover a lot of different things today. I would encourage you to share this with your friends and colleagues if you think they might be able to benefit from what we're talking about here today. I really appreciate you doing that. All right, without further ado, let's go hang out with Greg. Greg, welcome to the Art of Paid Traffic. How's it going, man?
It is going fantastical, my friend. Thanks for having me.
It's episode 105, and I can't believe it's taken 105 episodes to have you on the podcast here, but I am super pumped to have you on here, man.
I'm grateful to be here, my friend.
Aren't you having like some major renovations done to your place? So you're in Denver. It's the fall now. I don't think the weather's quite turned cool there, but aren't you having some major, I don't hear like hammers and saws going on right now.
Yeah, well, it's because I can't live in my house, so I'm not there right now. And okay, I have now work out of an awesome co-working space, and we have our own little private office. It's about 5 minutes from my house, which, like you said, is going through a renovation, and they're banging away there. So, so I definitely can't be recording a podcast.
It's good to have it. I was going to say, it's like really quiet there. You're definitely not at home at this point.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely. So you are the founder of Systemly, and I'm going to give a very rough like description of the company, but I want you to tell us more exactly about it and what you guys do there. But essentially, you help online entrepreneurs create systems in their business. And we're talking about systems. I know we're going to talk about this in a second. We're basically talking about sales funnels and building strategy around sales funnels and actually building sales funnels and programs and stuff like that that you guys have. And I know that you hate the word sales funnel the word funnel, which I definitely want to learn more about. But tell us a little bit more about Systemly and what you guys do there.
Yeah, for sure. So like you said, we work with, you know, online entrepreneurs that are selling their expertise either through coaching, consulting, or digital training programs, very similar to, you know, to what you do with your Facebook programs. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to work with awesome folks like yourself. And, you know, really we're behind the scenes for a lot of launches and really entrepreneurs that have and are building these ongoing systems that sell their products and services. And, you know, there's a lot more to marketing automation and quote unquote the funnel than the top of the funnel, which a lot of us see through things like webinars that actually will help a business succeed, right? You know, there's the delivery of your products and all that stuff. We'll talk about it. So we make sure that for our clients, when we build out these funnels and systems, that there's really an end-to-end solution from the awareness side of the top of funnel all the way through to creating advocates for your business after they've purchased and gone through your programs.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you bring that up and that you guys are focusing on that, because we talk so much obviously about Facebook ads and the top of the funnel and stuff like that. And one thing that I've really started to or try to focus on very much over the past year or so is, yes, everything's driven by the Facebook ads, but the real, you know, why Facebook ads work is because you have a strategy in place. And that is that sort of what you're talking about, Greg, that start to finish strategy that starts with the Facebook ad all the way through to the end being, you know, ultimately the sale. But that sale might not come right away. It might not come from your initial campaign, which is what we're going to be talking about here today. Now, one thing that I really want to talk to you about having you on here in the show is that you work with so many different clients with, you know, a variety of different niches and so forth. But what you guys see is that there are, you know, 7 or 8 sales funnels or systems, and I'm going to let you describe that, that you've had to build or strategize with for pretty much every one of your clients. And I know that we were talking about before we hit record here that you guys, you kind of call this the customer lifecycle funnel. So let's start there. What is the customer lifecycle funnel? And then from there, what are these 7 or 8 funnels that pretty much that you've had to strategize and or build for all of your clients? And then I want to get into like, why is this important for pretty much anybody to have in place in their business?
For sure. So we say the word funnel, and the reason I don't like it, and it's funny, I use it because I kind of have to, but really when I think funnel, I think of a combination of systems And you can say campaigns or automations or workflows. And some of that language is actually kind of has come to us through the tools that we use. You know, Infusionsoft is campaigns, you know, Active Campaign, they call them automations, Drip, they call them workflows. So whatever your terminology is, they're a system. They're a system that allows you to have a conversation with a subscriber that's going through that system at that time. And when you start to combine specific systems together, you now can have a system for every part of the kind of customer lifecycle. And, you know, customer lifecycle traditionally, you know, there's awareness, there's acquisition, you know, there's the amazed delivery of your product, turning the customer into, you know, another a customer again, ascension, and then making them an advocate or where they're referring people to you because they love you so much. And there are systems that play a part of each of those kind of conversations, depending on where that person is in the customer lifecycle. And as you mentioned, you know, getting to work with a lot of people, so much of everyone's effort is focused on the front end of that conversation. Mm-hmm. And as you even know with ads, you know, you're spending a lot of money, or a lot of people that are listening, you know, are looking to spend money on ads, and not everyone is going to buy. And where the revenue actually comes from might actually happen in some of these systems that are happening down the road, you know, well after you've already paid for the lead through a Facebook ad. So we've seen really across most of our clients, a majority of them, and really depending on where they're at in their business, they are using at least a couple, if not all, of these eight systems that we're going to be talking about that allow you to have a customer lifecycle journey.
Okay, I was going to say, because it's these eight systems or eight funnels that make up the customer lifecycle journey. And we're kind of using customer lifecycle journey, customer lifecycle funnel sort of interchangeably here, or customer lifecycle system. So everything that we're going to be talking about here makes up this customer lifecycle, because I'm so glad you bring that up again, because talking about just the awareness around, if we're going to be running Facebook ads or any kind of paid traffic to get people into our funnel or into our system here, into our strategy, maybe they're not going to convert right up front, whether we, you know, have them attend a webinar or they just download something and then we're offering them a sale follow up. You know, maybe they don't actually purchase from you. You've got to have a way to eventually, you know, you want to, as you mentioned before, and you're going to talk about this, but nurture them until they become a paying customer. And that's where a lot of us really fail, because we don't have that full life cycle, as you're calling it, sort of in place in your business. Now, so let's go through what these seven or eight funnels or systems are that are going to be making up the customer life cycle.
All right. So here are the eight. The first is the lead magnet delivery. Then the second and third, I would say, are a combination of live webinar, evergreen webinar. Then the next one is master follow-up. And I'll explain what master follow-up is. I'm sure that the topic has sort of come up, but maybe that term is new to people. Then we have fulfillment. We'll talk about that. Then we go into list segmentation, list hygiene, and long-term nurture. Those are the eight.
You said, I'm just, because I'm taking some notes here as you're saying this. So we went from fulfillment to list segmentation, to list cleanse, to, you said long-term nurture, is that right?
Yeah, I'd probably actually put long-term nurture right after fulfillment, but really it's after the sale. You're going to be, if they don't buy, we're going to be using either segmentation, hygiene, or long-term nurture.
Okay, so those could be interchangeable there at the end, depending on what actions that people are taking in the system.
Yep. And so kind of a way that I like to kind of frame this stuff up is, you know, a handful of these systems, lead magnet delivery, master follow-up, webinars, they're all starting to have the conversation is, what do you do when you have a new subscriber come into your world? And that's what these four systems are all about. And then the balance are, well, one, what happens if they buy? And then the other ones, that's obviously fulfillment if they buy. And then the rest is, well, what happens if they don't buy? Because again, a lot of people won't buy, and you need to have a plan in place for them and not just let them go stale. So it's kind of answering those questions. What do I do when I get a new subscriber? What do I do when they buy? And what do I do if they don't?
I like that. I like that. And I think that what I've seen working with so many different, you know, students and so forth is that a lot of people don't have all of these things in place. And I kind of want to start to break down each one of these things, but also from the perspective of, this is important to have whether you're a beginner or a more advanced person. And, you know, when we were talking before we hit record here, you were saying that, you know, the beginner, quote unquote, person maybe has one or two of these in place in their business, and maybe they're starting to build these, but they're working independently of one another. Whereas the more advanced person is, maybe they might have all of these systems in place in their business, and they're more working towards getting all these systems working together. And I like, as you put it before, playing nice with one another, because then everything's on autopilot. And that's really the what we're trying to, that's the sort of the golden rule that we're trying to get to, is to just to let these systems take place in our business on autopilot, so that we're bringing new customers or new leads into our business all the time and then becoming a paying customer.
Yeah. And I think kind of the moral of that statement, if you have only one, and heck, if you don't have any of these, or if you have eight, all of that's okay. You know, again, even some of the top marketers out there are still dialing in some of these systems so that they can play nice with each other. It's all a part of your journey. So you're going to have to start with a few of these at some point, or one of them. But over time, as your business grows, the rest of them are going to become important. And what we see is that as you dial in these eight, if you focus on these eight systems all around your one product or service, or at least one of your products and services first, get that system working like a machine before you go and start implementing one or a few of these campaigns for another product. And I know that's hard for people that might already have multiple products, but the more that if you can plan your energy and time now around dialing in these eight for your flagship product or service before going on to the next, I guarantee you, you're going to watch this machine in autopilot continue to work successfully while you then free up capacity to go do the next product and service. So I always challenge people that if you can do these eight all focused around your first or flagship or your main core product offering, service offering, that you will be in the best position to then go and start the next one.
I love it. And before we start to break down each one of these eight here, I want to clarify something, that because I think a lot of people sort of have this preconceived notion that in order to do these types of things in their business, create these systems or funnels, they need to have an Infusionsoft or Entreport. They need to have one of these big email CRM systems that are really robust and allow you to do all these different things. And of course, you can do it with those systems, but correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't need, you know, the big daddy, if you will, Infusionsoft or Entreport to be doing these things. Is that right?
Yeah, totally true. And, you know, I'm a SaaS hole at heart. Like, I love technology. And I think technology really helps us enable a lot of these strategies and put them in place. But like you said, I don't care. I actually don't care what tool you're using. This is not about Infusionsoft or Drip or ActiveCampaign or whatever. I will say that, you know, some tools will make this a whole heck of a lot easier for you that are still affordable. You know, so a lot of the tools that make this easy for you are tools that are based in marketing automation. So, you know, some of the AWebers and MailChimps, they're getting there with some of their feature sets. There might be a little bit more manual stuff you have to do to make this turn into a really cohesive and synergistic machine, but you can still run all eight of these with those tools as well.
Okay.
They're just going to be a little bit easier over time when you have more sophisticated tools.
And I think the important thing is, and I talk about this with Facebook ads, for example, all the time, is just mapping out the strategy first. And then
100%.
And then using these systems to implement what you actually map out. So that first step is going to be, or the first system, I should say, is going to be the lead magnet delivery. Let's break that down.
Yeah. So lead magnets, as you guys have probably talked about on the show, you know, it could be a checklist, blueprint, you know, a quick video, a video series, in many cases, a webinar. But I actually classify those a little bit separately because from what they do, we'll get to that. But lead magnet delivery, this is where the conversation starts. And hopefully you've planned your lead magnet so that it captures at least a sliver of the intent that will be required for them to buy this product or service that you're eventually going to offer.
What do you mean by that?
So say you're in health and fitness and your flagship product is how to get a six-pack abs through diet, right? But your lead magnet is, you know, the top five exercises to get a six-pack. While the end result of getting a six-pack is the same, if you're getting people to opt in for an exercise-based free training and your program is all about diet, there is a disconnect between when you go to make the offer for like, hey, now that you know these five exercises, it has nothing to do with that. It's all about what you eat.
Right.
The person who opted into that is probably in the mindset of, I can do this through effort and exercise, not what I'm eating.
Yeah.
So already you might be generating a list of the wrong prospect. That might be a cause in why you don't have good conversion into your dietary based program, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I kind of thought that that's where we're going, but I wanted to make sure that we were clear on that, because that's such an important distinction to make, that I see so many people just sort of throwing up some sort of lead magnet, you know, just getting it out there. But when in reality is, you've got to make sure that it aligns with whatever that eventual sale is going to be, or, you know, product or service, make sure that it aligns. And I think you made a really important distinction there too, Greg, is that you said if your first product has to do with how to get six-pack abs, or the lead magnet has to do with that, and your sale, whatever the product actually that someone has to buy, has to do with six-pack abs, it still, if you're talking about exercises in the first one and then diet in your sale, that's enough of a distinction there that maybe it doesn't quite align. It doesn't really lead that person from the lead magnet to the sale, even though they both have to do with six-pack abs.
Exactly.
You know, there's still a little bit out of alignment there. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah. And so a quick tip and strategy actually kind of made more popular by digitalmarketer.com is they call it splintering.
Yep.
And the easiest way to create a lead magnet that aligns with your product is to actually remove a piece of your product, or not remove it, but make part of your product the lead magnet, right? So that's why you see a lot of people saying, hey, use this checklist or workbook. And when you actually buy the program, they're actually using that workbook. So like, instantaneously, if you can remove a piece of your product, you know, Digital Marketer does this with swipe files all the time. Like, hey, download our swipe files. Well, now that you see the swipe files that are awesome, you probably want to know how to make them awesome. So let us talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. They do a really good job.
That's a real quick way to kind of make sure that there's that alignment. But lead magnet delivery, again, you're starting that conversation. And really, the lead magnet, depending on the stage of where this is at, if this is a warm audience, you can definitely have a lead magnet that takes people right into a purchasing decision within 3 to 5 emails. We see it happen all the time, and it can work. With cold traffic, your goal of your lead magnet campaign might not actually be the sale. It might be to take the next action, which we'll talk about, but I want to talk about both of those. So lead magnet delivery, the goal of this campaign is to either have them to buy or take the next step in getting closer to a buying decision. That might be a consultation. That might be a live registering for a webinar or an evergreen webinar of some sort. Those are probably the two most common. We'll stick with that.
Okay.
Now, that can happen. Either one of those goals can happen in 3 to 5 emails. And in fact, I recommend that it is around 3 to 5 emails. I think any longer, you're probably dragging out the conversation. And any shorter, they probably don't know you that well yet.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I'm glad you give us an actual number there of emails, because I get that question all the time. And I tell people that it is going to vary from niche to niche, from offer to offer. You're going to have to test to see what works the best. So we're giving a range here of 3 to 5 emails. Now, the next logical question that I'm sure a lot of my listeners here are thinking about is, when are those emails delivered? How quickly, how spread out?
I knew you were going to ask that question.
I got to put you on the spot like that.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what we see across the board, from the stuff we opt into to monitor and kind of learn from, and also what our clients do. I will say most commonly the average would be a day and a half, but no one does a day and a half. So basically what I'm saying is it's either every other day or every day.
Mm, okay. So you're saying if you're sending 5 emails, let's just say that is somebody opts into our lead magnet. Let's just say, so today is a Wednesday. Somebody opts in today. They get the delivery of that lead magnet. And then the next email in your follow-up series starts tomorrow.
Yeah, it very well could be. And now a couple, obviously, considerations. Who is your audience?
Yep.
With it being Wednesday, depending on your audience, they might not open emails on weekends. So you might want to do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then have it wait to deliver not on weekends. So again, this is where some of the kind of tweaking comes in. Another variable I would say is, like, how deep are you going into content as a part of this? And that will again change if you're talking to a cold lead or a warm lead, and potentially your market. If you're doing like 30-minute videos as a part of each of these emails, you might want to give them an extra day because that's a lot of content to consume. Yep. If they're quick hit checklists, you know, mindset shifts, little challenges, those might be better delivered, you know, shorter and quicker on a shorter cadence. So some of those things come into play. So that's where you got to ask your question about your audience and, right. you know, is this going to overwhelm them? Because that's also something that we see is if you're drilling content down their throat, that they're going to back off and they're going to be like, okay, like I can't even deal with all this. So take that into mind. But on an average, it's every day or at least every other day.
But again, I think the lesson here is there's no exact answer to it.
Right.
It's like everyone wants to know, just tell me when to send these. Well, we can tell you when to send it, but that might not work for your specific business or niche or your audience. So it really comes down to what you're talking about here, Greg, is knowing, you know, obviously who your target audience is, what they want, what type of content you're delivering. There's a lot of different factors in there. But in general, maybe think about doing, and I love that you bring up Saturday and Sunday. Maybe they don't open emails on the weekend. So if it is a Wednesday, let's just say that someone opts in, that they're going to get that email on Thursday, Friday, and then start back up on Monday. So yep. let's move on to that second system, which you said is the webinar or the auto webinar.
Yep. So if you're new to this, always live. If you have a live converting webinar, I think this is where Evergreen can come in. But let's talk first about the, we'll consider cold audience, right? So the goal of our lead magnet campaign is to warm them up, present them with something of value, follow up on that, you know, 3 to 5 emails. And then we're saying, hey, actually, we're going to have this live, we have this live workshop that's coming up and we're going to go even deeper. Here's how we're going to take this checklist that we just gave you and take it to the next level. So be sure to register, right? So there's kind of like this transition between the lead magnet campaign into getting people to register for the live webinar. And then on the live webinar, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but we actually also see a very common trend as to the number of emails and when those are sent. So with live webinars, the point of the live webinar, very much so for cold traffic and also for warm traffic, is this is your opportunity to extend the relationship and build upon what you've already started, right? So they've heard from you 3 to 5 emails or so. You've already delivered value. You've kind of presented a potential transformation opportunity, and now they can learn more about it. And on that, they really start to get to experience you as a person and a brand. And that's where a lot of that know, like, and trust will come in, which if done right and done well, will dramatically shorten the amount of work that you need to do to get them to buy, right? And that's mm-hmm. why a lot of people love live webinars, because it accelerates the, I never even heard of you, to I love you, I'll buy whatever you have, right? So in live webinar, we commonly see 4 emails before the webinar starts. One is the confirmation. One is the morning of. The next is an hour before. And the last is 15 minutes before. And if you can get a text message in there 15 minutes before, we always recommend a text message as well.
Can you repeat that again?
Yep.
So the day of webinar.
Yep. They register. So immediately they get their confirmation.
Sure.
Then they get the morning of the webinar.
Yep.
Then they get an hour before the webinar.
Now you say morning of, is there like a set, let's just say my webinar is at 12 noon Pacific time.
Yeah, I would probably have it go at 7 or 8 a.m.
Okay.
Now, if you're doing, for some reason, you do really early webinars, that's where I would say maybe you might want to either include or shift that morning of to a 24-hour notice.
Okay.
That one's kind of a potential, depending on how you feel, and can kind of flip flop it.
Yeah.
But we see most commonly morning of, and then hour before.
Yeah.
And then 15 minutes before, with potentially a text message also 15 minutes before.
Got it. Okay.
That is the most common. That is the most common.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people who are not using that many emails in their lead up sequence, what I hear a lot of feedback is that they think that's a lot. You know, but what I think what a lot of people forget, we have to remember that people aren't opening up every single one of our emails. You know, they only see the 15 minute before email and are like, holy cow, that's right too. I signed up for this. It starts in 15 minutes. I'm going to get to a place where I can, you know, sit down and watch and take part in this webinar. I know that for us, we do 24 hours. We do 3 hour advance notice. We do 1 hour advance notice, and then we do 15 minute advance notice.
Yep.
It works really well. The other thing that I try and add in there too is some sort of introduction to me. because if it's cold traffic coming in, people don't know who I am. I like to try to include some sort of introduction to me, you know, why they should be attending the webinar. And then I also like to include, again, if we have time in the lead up time period, is some sort of email that is just a value add where I teach a quick little something, whatever it is, a quick tip. And then we get into the reminder emails that we're talking about here.
Yeah. And we also see a lot of people, and I forget if you do this or not, they'll add like a workbook of some sort, be like, hey, you know, make sure you download this before, because we're going to be walking through it and you're going to want to fill it out. You know, little things like that. People are making micro commitments that are going to make them more likely to show up. And that's really a powerful thing. Like, not just sending emails to like, hey, here's who I am, here's what you're going to learn, here's what you're going to walk away with. But that little, just download the workbook. And if they start glancing at it, you know, there's gonna be a lot of blank spaces because they're gonna have to fill things in. They start to get intrigued. They are actually making a micro commitment before they make an even larger commitment of spending 60 to 90 minutes with you, right?
Yeah. And this workbook doesn't, I think it's a great idea. And I haven't done it recently, but I've done it in the past. It works really well. And, you know, it, to people listening, it might sound like, oh, that's a lot of work to create a workbook. All you really have to do is, if you're doing a webinar, is to go through your webinar, pick out some like some highlights or some sort of fill in the blanks where you're going to be giving some information, and then you can leave that information blank on the workbook. But basically the workbook is just coming from what you're going to be teaching in the webinar, and that will help people. Not only will it increase engagement of the people who are going through the webinar with you, but also it's just going to help them as a great resource with all the information that you're providing in the webinar.
Totally. Post-webinar follow-up, we commonly see about six emails.
Okay. Is this what you're calling the master follow-up?
No. This is the this is still part of the webinar.
Okay, cool.
But after the webinar ends, there's follow-up on the webinar, right? Yep. There's going to be people that attended and didn't attend.
Sure.
Hopefully, you can segment at least that much, attend, didn't attend. Mm-hmm. And there's about six emails, and really, three or four of them all happen on the last day when you're taking something, removing something. So to get people, we've seen, and you probably can attest to this, there needs to be some sort of urgency or scarcity to get people to take action. And it needs to be legitimate. It can't be like bogus.
Right.
So in a lot of cases, people that do programs will have like the doors open and the doors closed. And then at some point down the road, they'll open them again. If you're doing recurring webinars, you might kind of have an expiring bonus. I know we've actually talked about this in the past as well. Mm-hmm. So you have this bonus, and by X date, this bonus is going away. So depending on which one you're doing, a lot of your email copy afterwards is focused on letting people know that this deadline is coming and why they should be taking action ultimately. And then on the last day, that's where you're hitting them with multiple emails saying, hey, you know, closes at midnight, and that's like 9 p.m. And then at, you know, 11 p.m., maybe they get their last one, say, hey, close it down in an hour.
Yeah. Okay. So what happens if they go through the whole sequence and they don't buy from you? They don't. So are we moving on to the third system here, which is the master follow-up?
Yep. Master follow-up. So what we believe and what we've seen, so there's a lot of talk around, you know, you've probably heard the term indoctrination. Mm-hmm. And what indoctrination is in digital marketers' world, because they sort of made this popular, is that when someone first opts into your world, that while they're getting your lead magnet follow-up, you're also sending emails indoctrinating them to you, your brand, and what you're all about. And while I love that you're letting people know what you're all about, I don't love that you're having two conversations at one time. I really think that distracts people. So they're getting emails following up on this lead magnet that you just got, and you're saying, hey, by the way, here's my story. And these actually come in separate emails. So what we want to do is, with lead magnet and even the live webinar, because of just how we see a lot of these things work, you're starting to weave in a lot of who you are already. Like you said, you like to send an email kind of giving people a little bit more about you before the live webinar. So master follow-up is like our contingency plan. For, okay, they've gone through the lead magnet. If they were trying to buy, or we were trying to get them to buy, they didn't buy. Then they went to the live webinar. They still didn't buy. Now they're going to master follow-up. Another 3 to 5 email series. And they only ever go through this one time. And this is where you kind of, you step back a tiny bit on the pressure of the sale. And you start weaving in case studies and stories where you can talk about yourself and maybe people that you've helped, but still with the conversation aligned around that product that you just talked about on the live webinar.
Okay.
And it's almost like the, like the highlight reel of no matter how someone ever hears about you and this product, at some point, at least once, they're going to go through master follow-up. It's like that last chance. Like, all right, I'm going to give it one more shot to get this person, right?
Got it.
And you go 3 to 5 emails around, again, like reiterating the transformative opportunity. Here's how it's going to work for you. Actually meet this person who, you know, it worked really, really great for. It's not a super aggressive selling, but it's very like educational while really getting into the psychology part of it. And they only go through that one time, so they can't come back through that campaign again ever.
When might that start after the webinar follow-up series, the sequence that, you know, ends, let's just say 5-6 emails? There's the deadline. They didn't purchase. When does this master follow-up series start?
I'd probably give it about 3 to 5 days.
Okay. Give them a break.
Yep. Give them a little break. And actually, as a part of the follow-up on the webinar, if they don't buy, I do usually have an email that goes out that just says, hey, notice you chose not to join. You know, I'm always trying to get better. Would love to know why you didn't join.
Yeah.
So that's part of the process too. That's probably like right after the deadline. But yeah, then I give it a little bit, like 3 to 5 days. And again, because you don't want the conversation to go stale, right? So this master follow-up is still essentially about the same topics that they've came in through the lead magnet and that they went through on the webinar, but you're weaving in more just like, hey, like clearly they're not ready. Let me start to go through some of the kind of objections for other people that maybe weren't ready.
Yeah.
Or why.
And you could use that if you do that follow-up sort of survey, if you will, email, like, hey, I noticed that you didn't join us.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if you can tell us why. You can use that feedback in the follow-up emails here, because those are objections that you're getting.
Exactly.
Love it.
So again, it's kind of your last semi-aggressive chance to get them to take action, right?
Yeah.
Because at this point, if they still don't take action after the master follow-up, you've hit them with the lead magnet, you've started the conversation, you've gone super deep, they've spent an hour with you, if not more, and now you're like really hitting on like every possible thing that you think could get them to buy. And if they still don't buy, that's when you completely back off.
Okay. So if they do buy, and I kind of want to like breeze through the fulfillment.
Fulfillment's simple. Fulfillment is deliver your product or service.
Yeah.
Assuming it's a product, we'll say, you know, they get membership access, they get the link to log into the content area. There's a few emails, you know, hey, let me know if you have any questions, join our private Facebook group.
Yeah.
You know, those sorts of things. Just don't forget about people is the moral of the story. Like,
yeah.
If you want them to engage with certain pieces of content, use follow up within your fulfillment to say, hey, by the way, you know, Greg got tons of value when he went through this module. Here's why. Be sure, like at this point, you know, maybe that's 2 weeks. You know, don't forget to be checking out this module. If you already went through it, what'd you think? You know, things like that. Just so you're still engaging even with new customers and not just letting them go into the program.
Yeah. And I think one big lesson there too is that in your fulfillment campaign, when you're following up with your new customers, is don't make them feel like, holy cow, if you haven't reached this certain point, whatever you're talking about in the email, let's just say you're talking about a course and you're talking about module 3. Don't make them feel like, holy cow, I haven't started yet. I'm way behind the eight ball. Like,
yep.
People take this, you know, I'm actually going through, by the time that we release this episode, is I'll have called all of my new FE Advantage students who joined us recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing from different people like, yeah, I've gotten through all the training, you know, or I haven't been able to jump in. I'm looking forward to doing it. You know, life comes up and things happen. So just in that fulfillment campaign, it's really important to just remind people like, look, if you're not there yet, totally cool. But when you get there, you know, be on the lookout for XYZ.
Yep. And so from there, again, if assuming they didn't buy, obviously yep. At any point, if they've from a lead magnet, from live webinar or evergreen webinar or master follow, if they buy, they obviously jump right to fulfillment.
Yep.
Just want to make sure that that's clear.
Yeah.
But now, okay.
So if they don't buy,
this is where I'd put them into long-term nurture.
Okay. So what does that mean?
And I think the term long-term nurture is now misleading, because I think with how we can retarget and things like that in Facebook, mm-hmm. that having like, we've had some clients that have like a 2-year long-term nurture.
2 years?
And I can tell you, yeah, 2 years. It's crazy. Crazy. Don't recommend it. And here's why. Most people will never go back to look to see if those emails are even working. They're like, I can sleep at night because I know for the next 2 years, this person's getting emails, but you don't know if those emails are actually doing anything. And what you're more likely to be doing is actually fatiguing your list.
Yeah.
So I think long-term nurture is probably 3 to 6 weeks tops.
Okay. And that's if after they've gone through the master follow-up, which yep. was let's just say as a just roughly 3 to 5 days after they went through the webinar follow-up and didn't purchase. Yep. Master follow-up is like starts 3 to 5 days roughly later. They're going to get 3 to 5 emails. So that could be spread out over, you know, say, let's just call it 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then they go into, if they haven't purchased from you at that point, then they go into this long-term nurture sequence or funnel or campaign, as we want to call it, which is going to be roughly 3 to 6 weeks long.
Actually, a great example real fast is a good friend of mine who was formerly the head of automation at LeadPages, Chris Davis. He's actually now the director of education at ActiveCampaign. Mm-hmm. He showed me originally LeadPages follow-up was like months and months long. They revisited it and they broke it down into their long-term nurture was 3 weeks, 2 emails a week. And they basically highlighted the 6 most popular benefits that you would get out of using LeadPages. And that was long-term nurture because they generate so much revenue off of the top of funnel, which a lot of people will, that they really just focus on, hey, here are these amazing benefits that you probably should know about if you've actually reached this stage. So I like that because, and as you teach very well, we don't need to fatigue them with emails because now you can shorten your long-term nurture, still kind of stay top of mind. But this is where a lot of the retargeting comes in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're going to be long-term nurturing people, not just through email, right?
Yeah. So we always talk about using the retargeting to move people further along your sales funnel. So meaning if they signed up for your webinar, for example, and gone through these sequences that we're talking about here or these funnels, but yet still haven't taken that action, we can leverage retargeting to get people back to where we want them, the true action that we want them to take.
Exactly. So I'll kind of go through the last two real fast. And segmentation. Yeah. Segmentation is not something that we usually automate, although you can. But when you've got this whole system dialed in and you're ready to maybe start exploring the next product, you can send people through a campaign ultimately where, and again, I actually like the 3 to 5 emails for this as well, where you're ultimately getting them to click and tell you something that they're interested in. You want to give them a few options. Pat Flynn does this really amazingly in an email where he says, hey, you know, I want to make sure that I'm creating the best content for you in the world. You know, click the link below that best describes you. Like, I'm currently generating between X and X revenue or whatever. Whatever your information relative to your audience that you're trying to figure out the next thing that you should be talking about, you put them through a segmentation campaign where they have to click and engage. And, you know, depending on the tool you're using, you're applying tags so that now you can actually go and market these people respectively based on what they just told you they're interested in. So it's really the purpose of this campaign is to find out more about your customers so that whether they have already purchased from you or they haven't yet, you can find out the next potential thing that you should even be talking about to have a chance to sell them down the road.
Yeah. And this really comes down to, you know, giving the people in your audience exactly what they're looking for. So for example, for me, maybe I could speak to if somebody has an online business, you know, I could speak directly to them on how they are marketing and automating their online business versus if somebody has a local business, you know, maybe they have a brick and mortar location, that's going to be a little bit different. So I could speak directly to them. Now you mentioned something really, again, I think because a lot of people might be thinking here, well, I don't use an Infusionsoft or an Entreport. But yes, obviously you can do the tagging and the segmentation really, really easily with tools like that. But I actually don't know ActiveCampaign. Can you do it in ActiveCampaign?
Yep, they're tag-based. Anything that's tag-based, you can do it. Or at the very least, you could just have them click a link and go to another opt-in form. And if you're using a tool that's list-based, like an AWeber or MailChimp, they would just get added to a new list that is around that topic. Good. So it doesn't have to be tag-based. It's a smoother experience because it's a one-click thing when it's tag-based. But you could easily just add them to another list.
Good tip. Good tip. Cool. So let's talk about... So I'm counting 7. Is that right? We're at 7?
Yep.
So we got list cleanse, which is another one of those things where a lot of people don't think about. They get caught up in the number. Like everyone's like, how big is your email list? Like if my list is 50,000 people, I could care less if it is, you know, not very engaged and people aren't clicking or opening, as opposed to if my list is 30,000 and it's a very engaged audience or 1,000. You know what I mean? Like I'd much rather have a far more engaged email list than like a big number here. So this list cleanse step or this list cleanse system is super important. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So we recommend that you do this at least quarterly. especially if you're rapidly growing your list. And this is really important for people that have never done this, right? A lot of our clients came to us and they had 20, 50 plus thousand people on their list and they had never done a list cleanse, right? Mm-hmm. And very quickly they realized that that's not how big their list was,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, you hear a lot of talk around, oh, like my open rates are so low. Well, if you can find out who's actually engaged and who's not, and every tool is different in how you determine this, but most tools will allow you to say, hey, here's how many people haven't opened or clicked in the last X months, right? So look back, you know, 3-4 months to see how many people haven't opened or clicked your email. And of course, your email rates are the number that you're looking at in your metrics is completely misrepresented because for the last 3-4 months, there's a handful of people that haven't been engaging. Right, so right. You want to be able to remove those people so that you can have a really good idea as to how effective your emails are for those that are engaged. Okay. Every 3-4 months, okay. you do this, but you're looking for, I would recommend if you're looking for like, have they opened or clicked,
yeah.
AKA engaged, I would look back at least 3-4 months. You know, have they opened or clicked in the last 3-4 months?
Okay. Okay.
Especially since you're doing this quarterly. So that kind of plays nice. So really, ultimately, this campaign is all about getting them to say, yes, I want to keep hearing from you. No, I don't. And actually, again, surprisingly, 3-5 emails. And really, it starts off kind of friendly. And I mean, it's always friendly and it could be fun and, you know, spunky. I don't know why I just use the word spunky.
I think that might be the first time we've used the word spunky on the podcast here.
Sweet.
Thank you for using that word.
I will give a shout out to Nikki Elledge Brown because for some reason, when I said spunky, I just picture her. Anyone that doesn't know her, you might say that she's spunky. And she's a copywriter, so she might like that I even use the word spunky.
Nice.
But anyway, ultimately, the conversation goes, hey, you know, I noticed you haven't engaged in a while. Want to make sure that you still are receiving value. If you want to stay on my list, click here. If you're done hearing about Facebook ads, click here and opt out. That's version one. Mm-hmm. Version two of that is maybe a little bit more, hey, you know, just following up on this. Email three could be, hey, you still haven't. If you don't click yes, I want to receive, stay on the list, I'm going to remove you from our list manually in the next 48 hours.
Yeah.
So you kind of just basically are having, hopefully have them self-engage. Mm-hmm. And you'll see some people do that. Sometimes we have to do that campaign or a version of it twice. So say you have 1,000 people that were unengaged for 3-4 months and you send them through the campaign and you re-engage 200, wait a week or two, change the subject lines, send those 800 through the exact same campaign again. And at that point, if you can't get any of those 800 to re-engage, we recommend at the very least you remove them from your main newsletter. Mm. And or you send emails to them separately so that your main newsletter metrics are now actually represented as accurate as they possibly could be. If there are previous customers in there, you'll definitely want to leave them in your system. But if they're not previous customers, we do. And if you're trying to make sure that you're not paying for all these contacts, you can actually remove them from your application. Put them in an Excel spreadsheet, keep them there, export them, and then remove them from your app. And, mm-hmm. you know, don't keep paying for them if, you know, if they're not engaged.
And another strategy too would be Facebook ads. We're talking about retargeting here. I mean, that
exactly.
could be an opportunity for you to upload that list of, let's just say, 800 people and use Facebook ads to re-engage them. So to
exactly.
give them an offer to send them to a free opt-in or a free webinar, whatever it is, to
yep.
get them to re-engage with you and get back on your email list there.
And that's why, like, some people are like, oh, I don't want to delete them from my app. I'm okay with paying for them, even though they're not engaged. Mm-hmm. But now with capabilities like you just said, you know, if you can put an ad in front of their face and they re-engage, they're going to get back in your system anyway. And they'll get back and they'll most likely be more active. So it's almost a better way to do it anyway than have to continue to pay for these people that are unengaged. And like you kind of alluded to in the beginning, going through the list cleanse experience, depending on how big your list is and or if you've ever done one before, it can and in many cases will be a huge, huge shot to your ego. Just a forewarning.
Right.
Just a forewarning because, like you said, it's not about having 50,000 people on your list if only 25,000 people actually open. Like,
right.
No one's going to be like, if any smart person is like super impressed by you having 50,000 contacts, but they actually found out that only 25,000 are opened,
right.
like, they're not going to really think much less of you. Like, it is ego. So totally. It's a test of ego.
It is. And the unsubscribe is actually a good thing. I know that when you're first starting out, that unsubscribe hurts a lot. But if somebody doesn't want to be on your email list, like, you don't want them on your list. You know, you want people who want to be on your list.
One of the emails in my master follow-up subject line is, please unsubscribe. Nice. And I basically say, look, like, you probably have a crap ton going on. I don't want to be just one more email that you're not paying attention to. If you stick around, I got something really cool for you in the next email. But hey, if you're not going to be opening, like, I'd rather you not engage. Just click here and I'll make sure you're out. Yeah. So like, I kind of like hit him with that. And I learned that from actually Danny Inney. He's super amazing with segmentation.
Yeah, I love this because, I mean, again, going back to, if people are on your email list and they're not engaging, not only are you paying for them to be on your list, but, you know, if you want a quick way to increase open rates and increase click rates, clean out your list. Have the most engaged people on your list, and those are the people that you are engaging with. I've also heard, and I don't think we've talked about this, Greg, but I've heard some email systems, none of the ones that we've talked about today. I've heard about some email systems who, if you send out, let's just say you send out a broadcast email to your entire list. Let's just say it's, 50,000 people. We're using big numbers here. But let's just say you send out a broadcast to a lot of different people. Well, the email provider there is going to start chunking out, if you will. Like, so it's not going to send the email out to all 10,000 people. Let's just say it chooses 3,000 to send the first email out to. And then it uses, like, whatever technology is going on in the background, it looks at how engaged people were. Like, are people opening this email up? And then that sort of depends on, okay, well, a big percentage, and I don't know what the specifics are, but a good percentage of people open that email up or engage with it. So now we're going to, you know, continue sending out those up till we get to the 10,000. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. So two things on that. One, if you're new to any platform and you're importing your list, say you're moving from AWeber to ActiveCampaign. Actually, I'll do Infusionsoft because I'm 100% certain on that one. The first time you email those, say, 1,000 people that you just imported, it will throttle the delivery of that email.
Yeah.
Because they're going off of you saying, yes, they actually did opt in. And so they send out emails in chunks to make sure that they're not getting tons of spam complaints and that's all kosher. Another example is if you do have 100,000 people on your list, depending on the system that you're using, there's what's called throughput, and it's really how many emails can be sent a second, right? Hmm. And there can only be some, you can't send 100 in some cases if you have a huge list. Not all platforms will send 100,000 within the first 5 minutes, right? So ask your email provider, you know, what their throughput is, because if you do have a big list, then it might actually take 20, 30, 40 minutes for maybe all of these people to get the email.
Yeah. I love this. You and I could talk. I mean, we could talk about this for hours on end, but let's wrap up here. Let's kind of recap these seven steps. So the first step was the lead magnet delivery. Then we have the webinar or the auto webinar, whatever, whichever one. If you're just starting out, definitely encourage you to do the live webinar, the master follow up, the fulfillment if somebody actually purchases. Then we have the long-term nurture, the list segmentation, and the list cleanse. Any final thoughts on those seven systems or funnels?
Yeah, again, back to what we said in the beginning. If you're not using all of these, that's okay. If you're using one of them, awesome. But the goal would be to, at some point in your business, to have all of these working in unison around each and every product offer that you have so that you can feel confident in knowing that every new person that comes into your world will go through these campaigns and you will have addressed them in a way that is setting you up for the best possible chance to get them to convert. And then you also have a plan for if they don't.
Yeah, I love it. Now at Systemly, you do a lot. We've talked through this, you know, we talked through each one of these steps here, but at Systemly, you do a lot of trainings where you really dive deeply into these systems, into these funnels, break them down, all the different types of stuff. You do a lot of trainings there, but you have a live one coming up, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have a live webinar coming up where we're actually going to dive into each of these systems and how a lot of the advice that we've been given through blogs and all that stuff is actually counterintuitive to what these campaigns can actually do for you. So we'll dive deep into that. And if anybody wants to check that out, you can visit system.ly/Rick.
System.ly/Rick. I'll be sure and link that up in the show notes for the episode. Also, for to people to check out the site, I know you have a lot of great content over there as well. And I'm obviously on your email list as well, where I get, you send out some really great tips and stuff like that, talking, you know, a lot more about what we talked about here today. And I love how you wrapped it up there. Look, if you're a beginner and maybe you only have one or two of these systems in your business, totally cool, but be working towards getting all these systems in place at some point. And if you're more advanced, then maybe you do have most or all these in place, but be working towards getting them all working together on autopilot, and so that they're playing nice with each other, which I love the way that you said that. Greg, thank you so much, man. This has been awesome. Really appreciate that. System.ly/Rick for your upcoming free training. Yeah, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. It was a blast.
All right. Hope you got a ton out of this one with Greg today. I know I was taking notes frantically as we were talking. So really good stuff today. Hope you got a lot out of it. Before we go, I want to ask you, if you've not yet left an honest rating and review for the show, I'd love to ask you to do that. If you were liking the podcast here, please show your support by leaving a quick, honest rating and review for the show over on iTunes. It's a huge help. Only takes about 30 seconds to do it. Just go to iTunes, type in The Art of Paid Traffic, click on ratings and reviews, and you can leave your honest review and rating right there. Thanks so very much for doing that in advance. Really appreciate it. Well, that is all for today's episode, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. Got a lot of great stuff coming your way in the next episodes. So until then, and as always, keep testing your paid traffic to find out what works for you and your business, and then do more of what's working. And I'll see you in the next episode.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.